the end, people feel like, thank God you admitted that this is a confusing task to live here in the United States and to love your country. Thank God you said it that way, and I feel really useful to have written something like that for people.
Susan Werner is a Chicago-based singer-songwriter, and her new song, My Strange Nation, is available for free on the internet. We'll talk to Susan about this love song to the dysfunctional family we call America in today's edition of the Middle Chamber Books podcast. This is Steve Lubetkin. Welcome to the Middle Chamber Books Podcast. This is episode 4 for Monday, May 22nd, 2006. I'm Steve Lubetkin, host of these podcasts. I'm the proprietor of the Middle Chamber Bookstore, www.middlechamberbooks.com, where we partner with Amazon.com to bring our customers books, recordings, and other materials devoted to the liberal arts and sciences. In this podcast, we interview Chicago-based singer-songwriter Susan Werner about her new song, My Strange Nation, a love song to the United States as a dysfunctional family. The song is available for free download from Susan's website, susanwerner.com. Before we get to our conversation with Susan, we'd like to invite you to participate in a listener survey. There's a click-through button in the sidebar of this podcast's blog. That's at middlechamberbookstore.blogspot.com. You can also visit middlechamberbooks.com, and you'll find a survey icon there. You just click on the icon, and you'll be taken to the survey. If you have comments or suggestions about these podcasts, please email me at steve@lubetkin.net. That's lubetkin.net. We'd be pleased to receive audio comments as well, so feel free to send an MP3 file. And if you're an author or a book publisher with a book or an author you might think our audience would like to hear from, please let us know. Now let's get to today's program. Susan Werner has played Carnegie Hall with Michael Feinstein, and she's played piano on National Public Radio with Marion McPartland. Her most recent CD, I Can't Be New, features a collection of songs written in the style of Cole Porter and George Gershwin. But right now she's getting lots of attention in the blogosphere and elsewhere in cyberspace because of her freely downloadable song, My Strange Nation. It tries to reconcile the good things about the United States with some of the weird things that seem to be going on in politics and our foreign policy. We spoke recently with Susan by phone from her studio in Chicago. Susan Werner, welcome to the Middle Chamber Books podcast.
Thanks, Steve.
And you have now got this song out on the net called My Strange Nation, and it is sort of a song that tries to balance all of the dysfunctional things that are going on in the American community. Tell us how you got to the point of writing this song.
Well, I remember walking home from my office in downtown Chicago. I was walking back across, I think, the Columbus Avenue Bridge or something, in early January of 05. And I was just feeling like, what happened with this election, and how are we in this situation with this set of circumstances with the war in Iraq? And I couldn't put it all together, and I thought, I feel like my country is strange, like it's not recognizable to me. It's become some odd, a stranger almost. And then the melody came to me like bah, 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 like trumpets, and I'm thinking, what is this? This sounds like an anthem, right, with this kind of interval, bah, 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 like whenever you do fourths, bah, 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 right, that sounds like a trumpet or a bugle. I'm like, this sounds like some kind of anthem thing. And then My Strange Nation, I'm like, I think I have a song. I think this is it. And then I went home and worked on it and brought it back to the office in the next few days and finished it.
My Strange Nation, has ocean on two sides, and the Bama crimson tide in the south, tilted slightly toward the north. The immigrants pour forth, seeking Phoenix and life hand to mouth. My strange nation tilts sharply to the right, with our leaders straight and white as our teeth. Our population's mixed, but our election's fixed in my strange nation, America. My strange nation, built on the backs of slaves who were sailed here across the waves from far away. This cruel experiment was ended by a president who was both a Republican and gay. My strange nation gave the Indians our germs. They surrendered on our terms, as in died. Their survivors filed appeals, so we gave them roulette wheels in my strange nation, America. But my strange nation has lost its mind again, sending young women and men off to war for reasons that aren't clear, unless you're standing near to the rich and the righteous and the bored. And my strange nation, enamored of the cross, and who will win the toss of the coin, the circus and the bread, distract us from the dead in my strange nation, America. But my strange nation will surely come around, for you cannot hold us down for long. We'll sputter and we'll cough and throw the despots off and recover the soul that makes us strong. But loyal love for this land, for its mountains and its lakes, tornadoes and earthquakes, for its poets and pioneers, for its fetishes and fears, for its freedom of dissent, for its greasy government.
One of the things, Susan, that you do in My Strange Nation is challenge people's assumptions about some of the historical figures in history. Like, for example, you do make a reference to slavery being done away with by Lincoln and suggest that he was both Republican and gay. What was your thought
on
that?
Well, we know he was a Republican. This we know. The whether Lincoln was gay thing is a thing that's been floated by various historians. But the more interesting thing here is to have Republican and gay in the same sentence, because it's become impossible today in 2006 to be Republican and gay. You must be an idiot, is how most people think about it, if you're a Republican and gay. I mean, you must hate yourself beyond all belief because the Republicans have made this into a piece of their platform to go after gays in terms of limiting their access to civil partnerships and to adoption. And that's been a big laugh line when I play that song, is when you put Republican and gay together, everyone recognizes that's strange. And it confirms the title of the song, My Strange Nation. How can that be that those two things don't belong together? Well, the political landscape has now made it so that that's an unusual, odd, and even impossible thing to be.
What's been the reaction? You've been on Arianna Huffington's blog, and some of the other bloggers have said some interesting things about it. What reaction are you hearing?
The most fantastic reaction is always when you play it for people live, and they perceive it as you saying something from the heart, which is I'm trying to put this all together in my head. I think a lot of people have been trying to put all this together in their heads for the last couple of years. It feels like the country veered off course in some way that is really, really concerning, upsetting, outrageous. And to play it for people and to hear them laugh at the laugh lines and to feel them get really quiet when the song at the end turns in a more emotional direction, mentioning things that I love about this country and mountains and its lakes, tornadoes and earthquakes, poets and pioneers, a feeling of real love for it. And it's interesting to feel all of that go by, and at the end people feel like, thank God you admitted that this is a confusing task to live here in the United States and to love your country. Thank God you said it that way, and I feel really useful to have written something like that for people.
This is a considerable departure from the music that's on your latest CD. What caused the transition? Where did you get to from the one to the other?
Well, the last CD was all songs that I wrote to sound as if they maybe fell off of Cole Porter's table and sat under the desk for 70 years and collected dust. The songs were meant to sound like they're from the 1930s, 1940s, like Gershwin might have written them, or Harold Arlen or Johnny Mercer, and that project was a very self-conscious attempt to write in that style. This song is a departure in terms of subject matter, because it's about politics and about feelings of patriotism, but it isn't a departure in this sense. In this sense, it's the same kind of approach, because what I did was write music that sounds like the thing, write music that sounds very much like a patriotic anthem, and talk about what it means to feel patriotic at this time. So the music sounds like a little like the Battle Hymn of the Republic or the National Anthem or that kind of thing. And the songs I wrote for the previous record were all meant to sound very much from the 1930s. They're not contemporary sounding. They sound like a throwback, but the lyrics are contemporary. And in that way, it's kind of the same thing. And it's been interesting to see how much of an argument that music, when people hear patriotic music, that music itself is half of the message and half of the power of the thing. It's been wonderful to discover that.
When I actually listened to My Strange Nation, it sort of reminded me a little bit of the 70s Cashman and West tune, American City Suite.
Well, I don't remember that. How did that go?
Well, it's a very long it's a long piece. It's got several different sections, but the section in particular that it reminded me of was a segment that was designed to be a tribute to New York City. It was called A Friend is Dying. And it was kind of, things are going not so good, but this is a place that I really love.
Yeah, so there you go, trying to put those things together, yeah.
Yeah, very similar tone and theme sort of thing, and it seemed to jump out at me.
Well, who said that the sign of a mature mind is the ability to hold two ideas simultaneously?
Oh, then I'm in deep trouble.
I don't know either, but I've always loved that quote, and I think there's something to that. To live in America today is to acknowledge that some things are, a little out of joint, but I'm not leaving, It is in that way. Like my family. Everybody has odd things about their family, but, damn it, it's my family, and, you insult them, and I'm gonna put a fist in your face.
You're gonna stick with them no matter what.
Yeah, that's right, you stick with them, and I'm not, one of the lines in the song is, I will not move to France. I'm not leaving. I'm staying right here, and I'm gonna fight for it.
On the CD, which has been out for how long now?
The I Can't Be New CD?
The Cole Porter type songs.
Yeah, it came out in, I think, 2004. It's been out a little while.
Okay. Which of the songs do you regard as your personal favorite from that selection?
I'll tell you one song that seems to have a real effect on an audience is the title song, I Can't Be New, which is written like a Lisp song, like Cole Porter wrote, birds do it, mm-hmm, bees do it, mm-hmm, even educated fleas do it, mm-hmm, let's do it, let's fall in love. It's all these animals or people who do it, right? It's listing thing after thing after thing. And I Can't Be New, this song, lists all the things I can be for you. Coffee, ham, and eggs, I can be your diner.
Tired, aching legs, I'll be your recliner. And when you need a breath of air, I'll be your balcony. When you need a laugh, I can be your joker. Cut a loss in half, I can be your broker. 'Cause all of that and more, you have been for me. And I'll be the release when the pressure's heightening. I can be the grease when your wheels are tightening. And when you need a dance, I can be that old soft shoe. I can be your girl through the best and worst time. But I can't be the girl you notice for the first time. There's so much I can do, but I can't be new. And when they're buying you steak, baby, I can be the gravy. When they throw you in the lake, I can be the Navy. Be that 3-day leave, I can be that bad tattoo. I can be the sky, the very wild blue yonder. Still I can't catch your eye when it starts to wander. As I've seen it do, oh, at least a time or two. I'll be anything for you, baby, but I can't be new.
This song, Women of a Certain Age, come up to me after the show, and oh my God, do they have stories. And even guys say, hey, that's a great song, you know, that's a good song. It seems to have said something in a very clear way that nobody quite said that way, and the song is also true to the style of the 30s and 40s, and I feel very proud of that. I feel very, again, very useful when I sing that song.
So you have been, Susan, traveling around and touring and writing and doing this whole music thing for a long time. What's next? You've got a tour ongoing or about to gear up?
My career is like, there are some of us out here who tour constantly. I think the most high-profile people like that are probably like Ani DiFranco or Greg Brown. Some of us are just out here all the time. And we record from time to time, but we tour constantly. So I'll be out this weekend, I'll be in Michigan, the next weekend I'll be in Boston, the next weekend I'll be in New York, the next weekend I'll be in Philadelphia, and the weekend after that, I was just in Kansas, the next weekend after that, God knows where I'll be, New Jersey somewhere. So the touring is constant, but the songs, I'm always trying to write something new every weekend. And part of what I'm working on right now is some kind of traditional, it's either country or bluegrass. I can't make out quite what it's going to be made up of, but it's some return to my rural roots and the music of rural America, but saying something contemporary using those materials. And it's been really well received.
Mm-hmm. You grew up where, Susan?
I grew up on a farm in eastern Iowa near Dubuque.
And how did you make your way to Chicago? When did that take place?
I lived in Philadelphia for a long time. Actually, I went to graduate school in Philadelphia and just stayed out there. And I've been wanting to get back closer to my family for many years, and finally a couple things came together, and I was able to get back here. I've been here now for 6 years.
So what do you do when you're not on the road performing? What do you do to relax?
I take tap dancing lessons. I'm not even kidding you. I'm terrible at it, but I love it. I'll tell you one other thing I did today.
Okay.
I was bicycling around at the protests of all the Latino immigrants.
Oh, yeah.
There are 600,000 people in Grant Park, one block from my office right now. And I bicycled out early so I could be with everybody. And I'll tell you what it is. You're either on the street marching with them or you're on the sidewalk watching. And the people on the sidewalk watching looked kind of freaked out, like they're afraid something's going to be taken away from them. And to go back to this song, Strange Nation, I think there's room enough. I think there's room enough in the American dream for lots of people who are here to make a good life for themselves and their families. And it's this scarcity mentality that is one element of the political landscape that continues to puzzle me and concern me. I think there's room enough. I think we can find a way.
Susan, pick one other song from the CD that you you'd like to share. One that you like.
There's
more than the others.
Well, there's another song that always gets a laugh out of the audience, and it's called "Let's Regret This in Advance," and it's about an affair in which you acknowledge right up front, we're going to be sorry we did this, but we know we're going to do it anyway. And I thought that this song should be played in the lobbies of Sheratons and Hiltons all over the country, because, you know, that's where you'd think a thing like this. And people laugh whether or not they've ever been in this particular situation, but it's run through almost everybody's head once or twice, and it's fun to have a right little song like that again, harkens back to the tradition. Cole Porter wrote a lot of funny, dark little songs, and even some obscene songs, and it's true to the tradition to be funny, and that's been fun about doing songs that sound like they're from the 30s and 40s. It used to be okay to be funny in a song. I don't know when everybody got so deadly serious and started posing for the cameras in these extraordinarily self-serious poses. I don't know when that happened, but it certainly wasn't the case in the 30s and 40s. The writers had fun, and the singers had fun, and the audiences could laugh, and I've enjoyed that part of this particular tradition.
There was a sort of an escapism to the music.
Absolutely, or an acknowledgement of just, we're all human, you know? We're not better than we are. We're just, love makes fools of us all, and it's been fun to offer that to people in a song and to feel like, we can just acknowledge that. It's all right. We've all thought these things or been there once or twice.
Standing there before the altar, lovers make a vow, but forevers sometimes falter in the here and now. Still, it's in the Holy Bible. One should never stray, so you and I'll be holy liable if there's hell to pay. So let's regret this in advance. Why wait until it's over? If we're gonna take a chance on what tonight may bring, let's tell all there is to tell and speak of things unspoken. We both know full well the truth. true hearts will be broken. So let's feel sorry at the start and save all the hours later after both of us depart from what tonight may bring. If we're about to do what we set out to do and yield to this romance, let's not wait until it's over. No, no, let's regret this in advance. Little dance, let's not wait until it's over. Let's just regret this in advance.
Mm-hmm. So what's next? What's after this tour? What projects do you think you're going to be tackling besides the tap dancing?
Yeah, I don't think the tap dancing is going to lead to anything of any professional consequence. Or I'll tell you what, if I head that way, Steve, just call me and say, Susan, no. I do see this some kind of alt country or neo traditional bluegrass thing happening. I see something happening with string instruments, dobros and banjos and mandolins and things. And then I think I might like to write a show. I think I could write a musical or some kind of thing for the stage.
What
I'd
kind
like
of a
to try
story?
That.
Do you have a storyline in mind?
I have a couple stories in mind, and I don't want to talk too much about them because I kind of want to stay in love with them. So talking too much will give away the gold. So I want to hang on to that. But there are a couple stories I'm looking at, and then I want to do something I think in foreign languages. I'm convinced that. Just like today, there was so much chanting in the immigrant protests here in the streets of Chicago. So much Spanish language. There's so many people who speak Spanish, understand Spanish, have it as part of their daily lives, and it's a part of the fabric of American life too. There's something I'd like to do that would be some of it in Spanish, some of it in Portuguese, some of it in French. I can speak German. There's something in language I want to do. I think there might be an interesting way to do contemporary cover songs we all know from pop radio. But to do them in foreign languages, that's a challenge I'd like to take on at some point.
The thought also occurred to me that the juxtaposition of My Strange Nation with the current controversy that's swirling around the Spanish version of the Star Spangled Banner, have you got any thoughts on that? Have you heard it?
I think it's really a testament to the power of music that people want to use those materials to make their case. You can say whatever you say in prose, like I can just talk to you right now, like a person just talks at the dinner table or whatever. But once you put a melody to it, especially a melody that's familiar to people, I think the thing has 10 times the power. Potentially it has 10 times the power of everyday speech, of a poster, of a billboard. I just think it gives it so much more power, and it's a testament to how wonderful music is and how much it means to people, how much it can move people.
So you're not opposed to the idea of singing the national anthem in Spanish?
No, I'm not opposed to it. I'm not real sure it's going to catch on because I'm just not real sure it's going to catch on. I also think that the language concern is something not to worry about so much, because the second generation and the third and the fourth generation of immigrants all speak English. The second generation already speaks English. So I see it as a temporary kind of thing. I don't see it as a long-term concern.
Okay, well, listen, thank you very much for being with us, Susan. We appreciate it. And best of luck with the tour with My Strange Nation and the future show projects.
Steve, thanks so much.
Our thanks to Susan Werner for joining us on the podcast today. And special thanks to Randy Alexander of Randex PR for helping arrange the conversation with Susan. And remember, you can download an MP3 of My Strange Nation for free at Susan Werner, that's SusanWerner.com. Our theme music for this podcast is Cook the Books from the Indianapolis Jazz Orchestra, one of the PodSafe music selections available at garageband.com. Again, if you have comments or suggestions about the podcast, please email me at steve@lubetkin.net. We'd be pleased to receive audio comments as well again, so please feel free to send along an MP3 file, and perhaps you'll be one of the first listeners to have your comments appear on the program. We produce these programs in our studios in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. This is Steve Lubetkin. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you out there on the net. Take good care.
This podcast is a proud member of the New Jersey Podcasters Association.
Hey, you got a problem with that?